Hi, this is Naroki 5. I am going to be doing this until I die or I find something better to do. So please help me achieve this personal and, I think, noble objective by contributing to my Patreon or Subscribestar. Link is down below. Every little bit helps. Thank you very much.
국회의원들은 자리를 지키고 있습니다. 국회 본회의장에서 대기를 하고 있습니다. 이재명 민주당 대표도 대통령의 계엄 해제 선언 전까지 국회에서 자리를 지키겠다라고 얘기를 하고 있습니다.
일단은 국회에서 계엄 해제에 대해서 만장일치로 네. 가결시키지 그렇습니다. 않았습니까? 그리고 국회의장도 네. 국회 경내에 무장 병력들을 철수해달라 이렇게 요구까지 했어요.
네. 자, 우리도 저희도 현장을 계속 지키도록 하겠습니다. 여러분들과 함께 국회
보고 계시는 우리 시청자분들을 위해서 잠깐 정리를 한 번 더 해볼까요?
네, 계엄사령부 포고령 제1호라고 해서요. 예. 다음과 같은 내용의 포고령 제1호를 발표한다 해서 여섯 가지를 적시를 했습니다.
예, 예.
저를 마치겠습니다.
190명 네, 투표했고 190명이 찬성을 했습니다. 비상계엄 해제 요구안 표결을
드리겠습니다.
드리겠습니다.
이게 또 국회 의결로서 해제 의결이 됐기 때문에 그 부분 봐야 할 것 같고요.
네.
일단 뭐 보니까 외환 시장도 좀 반응을 하고 있는 것 같습니다.
네.
그래서 달러도 약간의 이제 뭐 굉장히 많이 원화 가치가 떨어졌다가
아.
좀 약간 올라온 부분이 있고요.
예.
그다음에 코인도 이제 상당 부분 이제 원상 회복 쪽으로 가고 있는 것 같아요.
그렇군요. 국회 본청 앞에 모습을 지금 보고 계십니다. 국회 본청 정문 모습인데요. 군 경찰 관계자들이 모두 이렇게 본청을 떠났는데 아직 퇴거하지 않고 앞에 있네요. 본관 앞에.
아마 저 예. 군인들이 한 50여 명 된다고 하는데
네.
본인들의 어떤 개인적인 행동에 의해서 하는 게 아니고
아.
아마 군
상부의
지시에 의해서 하는 걸 겁니다.
예.
그래서 지금 헬리콥터를 타고 왔다는 거 아니에요.
예.
그럼 이제 다시 가기 위해서는 또 헬리콥터를 타고 돌아갈 수도 있고 아니면 적어도 저 군 병력을 실현할 수 있는
예.
어떤 운송 차량이 오든지 이제 그런 경우가 있어야지 아마 철수를 할 거예요. 근데
예.
지금 뭐 분위기상 보면 철수할 가능성이 크다. 여기서 뭐 일단 의결이 돼버렸기 때문에 군인들이 남아서 할 수 있는 게 전혀 없거든요.
네. 이 시각 관련 속보를 좀 정리해 드릴게요. 교육부는 모든 업무 학사 일정 정상 운영하겠다라고 입장이 나왔네요. 그리고 최상목 경제부총리 비상기업 선포 이후 나타날 수 있는 시장 불안 요인에 대응하기 위해서 무제한 유동성 공급 등 모든 가능한 금융 외환시장 안정수단을 총 동원하겠다고 했고요. 네.
지금 국회에 진입했던 무장 계엄군들은 철수 중이라는 속보도 들어오고
그래요?
있습니다.
네.
네. 그리고 국회 밖에 있었던 시민들
예.
굉장히 많이 모여 있던 모습을 앞서 보실 수 있었는데
네.
이 계엄령 해제 요구안 가결에 환호하는 모습도 있었다는 소식이 함께 들어왔습니다.
네. 박형준 부산시장이 비상계엄 즉각 철회돼야라는 입장도 발표를 했었군요. 네, 박찬대 민주당 원내대표.
친애하는 국민 여러분, 저는 북한 공산 세력의 위협으로부터 자유 대한민국을 수호하고 우리 국민의 자유와 행복을 약탈하고 있는 파렴치한 종북 반국가 세력들을 일거에 척결하고 자유 헌정 질서를 지키기 위해 비상계엄을 선포합니다. 저는 이 비상계엄을 통해 망국의 나락으로 떨어지고 있는 자유 대한민국을 재건하고 지켜낼 것입니다. 이를 위해 저는 지금까지 폐악질을 일삼은 망국의 원흉, 반국가 세력을 반드시 척결하겠습니다. 이는 체제 전복을 노리는 반국가 세력의 준동으로부터 국민의 자유와 안전 그리고 국가 지속 가능성을 보장하며 미래 세대에게 제대로 된 나라를 물려주기 위한 불가피한 조치입니다. 저는 가능한 한 빠른 시간 내에 반국가 세력을 척결하고 국가를 정상화시키겠습니다. 계엄 선포로 인해 자유 대한민국 헌법 가치를 믿고 따라주신 선량한 국민들께 다소의 불편이 있겠습니다만은 이러한 불편을 최소화하는 데 주력할 것입니다. 이와 같은 조치는 자유 대한민국의 영속성을 위해 부득이한 것이며 대한민국이 국제사회에서 책임과 기여를 다한다는 대외정책 기조에는 아무런 변함이 없습니다. 대통령으로서 국민 여러분께 간곡히 호소드립니다. 저는 오로지 국민 여러분만 믿고 신명을 바쳐 자유 대한민국을 지켜낼 것입니다. 저를 믿어주십시오. 감사합니다.
The moment on Saturday that protesters in South Korea heard the results of a vote to impeach President Yoon Suk Yeol. Yoon is now suspended from his official duties over his short-lived attempt to impose martial law. He became the second conservative president in a row to be impeached in South Korea. Under the constitution, Prime Minister Han Duk-soo becomes acting president. He's vowed to ensure stable governance. The motion was carried out after some members of Yoon's People Power Party joined the opposition. That helped clear the two-thirds threshold needed for impeachment. The number of lawmakers supporting impeachment was 204, with 85 against, 3 abstentions and 8 invalid ballots. Although suspended, Yoon remains in office. The Constitutional Court will decide whether to remove him sometime in the next 6 months, triggering a snap election. Yoon shocked the nation on December the 3rd when he gave the military sweeping emergency powers. He wanted to root out what he called anti-state forces and overcome obstructionist political opponents. He later apologized to the nation, but also defended his decision and resisted calls to resign ahead of the vote.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of Red Pill Nation Hangout number 413. I was hoping that Mark Edworthy was going to be here tonight so we could do both South Korea and Syria at the same time. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be. But we do have Jaffe here, who I believe it's Seoul he lives in. So he was almost, I don't know whether Seoul's probably a fairly big city, so I don't know whether he was actually ground zero when it happened, but he's you know, if you wanted to ask somebody about what's going on in Canada, you would ask me or Ryerson. But if you want to know what's going on in South Korea, it's always best to ask somebody whose feet is on the ground. Just like, however, if you wanted to ask about the manosphere, you would probably come and ask me first before going off and basing information off what is going on what they say on Wikipedia and so forth. That being said, you know, I got some, I got, got some site news here, first of all. Yeah, 414, which is going to be the next show up, is going to be done. Well, it's going to be done tomorrow. And I will get Mark Edworthy on and maybe a couple of other people on when we will do a special specifically on Syria. And at some point, I'm guessing before the, at some point in the next couple of months, we're going to do the P. Diddy special. That one should be rather interesting. Keep in mind, too, that tentatively scheduled, we will be doing the year-end special show on December 29th, and we'll be doing our annual predictions, well, predictions or guesses for 2025. We will be doing that on January the 5th. So without any further ado, I am your host, Naroki5. It is just me and Jaffe tonight, and I suspect that Jaffe is going to be doing most of the talking. So Jaffe, introduce yourself, and then I'll get into all the places that I can be seen.
Jaffe Ryder here. That's right. Via South Korea, not exactly Seoul, but more the central type location. I've actually worked and served as the host of the flagship to the WPRPN.com network, Pirate Radio podcast, and the Robin Hood over the past, it'll be 10 years, 2025. Believe it or not. And this actually, we find ourselves right in the midst of our 10th year anniversary, Operation Secret Santa, hashtag OSS 2024. Thanks, by the way, for dropping in today. Actually, you came in just at the end, didn't you? But you also touched base with us at the start. You were occupied with some other matters, unfortunately. But you were there on the periphery. So, and maybe you'll have a chance to join us here at some point before the campaign is over. It's a 10-day affair, of course, as always, and let us in as to what's taking place via Edmonton and Canada as a whole, of course, as far as, you know, Christmas celebrations and whatnot are concerned. One of the reasons we pursue this campaign is, of course, because of the war on Christmas, as it's known. So many people, I'm not sure how well it's going these days, but seems like we've managed to muster a little bit in the way of pushback and, you know, basically putting our collective cultural foot down, saying that enough is enough. You know, nobody's taking Christmas away from us. So, but anyways, that being said, great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I think this is going to be a pretty decent quality conversation, and it gets really deep and dark, and a lot of people are not aware of this, how bad the situation is really still to this point. What's been uncovered, thank God for the impeachment that came through just today. They really tried to pull off a major political and military coup. And, you know, just out of nowhere, mostly out of frustration on President Yoon's part. But he himself had actually, and, you know, the wife is actually, she's not too far from here at present. So if we need any support regarding insight, greater insight on any of these talking points, maybe she might be someone worth drawing into the conversation. But are you clear on the situation, the background? What's your understanding to this point, Naroki? Maybe I can help flesh things out a little further. If we still have you there, maybe he's wandered off to the bathroom or fridge in the kitchen.
Oh, sorry, I muted myself. I muted myself here, so I wasn't going to interrupt you. Yeah, my understanding is President Yoon declared martial law. The Capitol building, the Capitol district area was locked off specifically, but they allowed the apparently they allowed the politicians to stick around. there's a lot of anti-communist, my understanding, and keep in mind, this is very sketchy information. There was a lot of anti-communist rhetoric coming out of President Yoon. I know that he, for whatever reason, for somebody who was attempting a coup, he did not bother to lock up his political opponents, which is really, really strange, because if you're going to do something like that, that's like literally, that's textbook something that you would do. And they got back together and they voted to rescind martial law about 12 hours later, although I understand that things were very hectic outside of the Capitol buildings and whatever this is called, the Capitol District in Seoul. Apparently soldiers were unprepared for what was going to happen because like you said, this just sort of came out of nowhere. And what's happened is that all the political parties have gotten together and have decided to impeach him. That's about the limit of my knowledge about the situation. So if you have anything more to say on that, then go ahead. And I'm probably sure you do. So what is being said over in South Korea versus what we're hearing here in the West?
Well, I'm not sure what more exactly is getting through to the West, but like I said, it goes really deep. He was impeached, thank God. This is the second consecutive attempt. Last week was not successful. This go around, from what I understand, they had a few of his own party members, the People's Power Party,
okay.
Yeah, and all that PPP nonsense, the public-private partnership business, is really big in Korea with the Chaebol fascist collectives of Samsung, LG, Hyundai, so on and so forth. Yeah, so PPP, you got to keep a watch out for that. I actually tried to launch a corporation back in the day that was a cooperative corporation, or for that matter, a corporate cooperative. I had that in mind. I wasn't sure if that was going to fall along lines of Sesame Street or something. But in fact, here's the wife now. So stay, if you would. Don't wander away too far, Coco. And we can maybe have some input via your end as far as insight regarding these matters, the impeachment and so forth. But did you know? The lawyer actually said, no, you can't do that. You can't make a cooperative corporation cooperative, but isn't it interesting that these vested interests, high powered special interests, can put together all the private public partnerships that they want to, but little people, nobodies such as myself, just completely locked out of the process for some strange reason. So there we go. But okay, here's the thing: it goes really deep. And what you're not hearing in the West, supposedly, and people need to fact check this, gets really dark. And it was a bungled attempt, of course. And he didn't put anyone on alert. He never talked to Biden, supposedly, or anyone else. He was trying to frame it as if North Korea was hijacking the democratic process. And
oh, hence the blaming of the communists and so forth.
Continue. Oh, yeah, you got to have some, like, well, what did Hitler do, right?
We blame Jews.
Exactly. Well, something. Yeah, exactly. You got to have a scapegoat and just really.
Or actually, he went after the communists first, then he went after the Jews. But yeah, I digress.
Okay. So you got to have a scapegoat. And that's what he did, trying to blame a lot of the legislative deadlock. And really, his party is the minority at present. The Minjutang, as compared to the, what the hell is it now? Gukminhim. Gukminhim is Yoon's party. Gukminhim, which is People's Power Party, as opposed to what the hell? Why am I not coming up with his name now? Hey, what the hell, baby? What the hell is the leader of the opposition? What's his name? It'll come to me in a minute. So these bloody Korean names, constant, they're not easy for me, or I think a lot of other.
Oh, well, yeah, I noticed they got a lot of hyphenated names in Korea as opposed to, say, Japan or Vietnam or China, which is how it's easy. When I see a hyphenated name, it's like I just assume, maybe not incorrectly, but I just assume that they're Korean if they have some type of a hyphenated English pronounced name. That's just me.
Lee Myung-suk, what the hell his name is. But anyways, the leader of the opposition and the opposition party, Minjutang, Democratic Party, they have a huge majority in the legislative body. It's a national assembly, is what we in English can conventionally refer to it as, and that is exactly as you pointed out, where there was the standoff, the dispatching of a large number of soldiers and police, and having, they're really confused too. Many people thought it was a joke.
I was noticing a lack of coordination of the security forces there. Yeah. And I mean, I only saw just a tiny little beat pieces of it, and I was noticing the lack of coordination. And it's like, it's a little bit. Well, considering what South Korea has got immediately to the north. I mean, the South Korean military, as far as I understand it, is a very dot the I's, cross the T's type of an organization, right? So if they're disorganized, it's like it's either on purpose or they were caught totally unprepared. That's just my impression of the South Korean military, based upon people that I've actually spoken to that were in the armed forces, and from what I've seeing from, keep in mind, from Western media sources.
Yeah, it was right from out of left field, completely caught everybody by surprise. And like I said, many thought it was some sort of joke. He says, well, what is this, nonsense? So, but, he was in a pretty weak position to begin with. And now he's been stripped of even more power, supposedly. I think one of the issues clearly is the person who's been selected to serve in his position. I've yet to look into him all that greatly. This would be another reason why it would be good to have the wife on hand. I'll try to get her attention here momentarily, but it goes really deep. It goes into the point where what they were plotting, there's five of these people. The president, the former defense minister who resigned within a day or so of the event, and then later staged an apparent suicide attempt by what was media reported as strangulation via using his underwear to end his life, wrapping around his neck and seeing if that would do the trick. But there's five of these people that now, I think even the Minister of Information or Interior, it's just really not good. They all went to the same high school as young people. They've been groomed. They have been angling. They have, and Yoon Suk-yeol, what a name in Korean, it might be a great name, but Suk-yeol, I had a suspicion right away. It's like, this is not going to work well. No, it doesn't. So, but he's a high-powered prosecutor, and he's just, in Korea. So he's a major political player and insider. And right off the bat, the wife was telling me when he got elected that there was a growing concern that he was going to be targeting his political opponents, trying to lock them up. What happened ultimately here with the frustration, because his popularity had been sinking to such a terrible percentage of the people that were backing him, down to 25%, I think, 20, and now it's down like about 11, supposedly 11%, mostly Eastern based. That's where it all goes back to Japan, actually, and the ties that were established in building up the East Coast infrastructure along the peninsula. The West, I don't really know what the deal is there, other than a little more, you could say, freedom-loving, I suppose, and who their political masters are exactly, whose interests they ultimately serve is anyone's guess. But yeah, I think clearly we've just seen that the life in Korea is a little more, well, it's been a major wake-up call for me, as if the whole scamdemic wasn't bad enough. And I don't think we're live streaming through BoobTube, so maybe we can talk a little more freely about this whole business.
Oh, yeah, dude, when it comes to YouTube, I post up there simply for ease of uploading to other platforms, and just because you actually kind of need a presence on YouTube. Yeah, I hardly use YouTube at all. I barely use YouTube at all. It's just
right. Let's see, where are we now? So just because I kind of, with my delivery, it's not all that skilled or polished at times. I tend to be a little non-linear, more than a few non sequiturs along the way. But like, as with Trump and Socrates too, let's not forget it. It's all about circling back, the weave, as he calls it, I guess, but Socrates circling back. So we have the five insider male high school buddies that, and Plato, speaking of Socrates, Plato warned us about this in the Republic. People who desire, are eager, and clamor for power, temporal, worldly power, ought to be, you ought to view them with a great deal of concern, they need to be held in check, basically. They need to be held in check because they're dangerous. They're dangerous. You know, these people that they crave, they desire, they lust for power. And I know that's never been my trip, frankly, but at the same time, I do believe, I'm big, a big believer in checks and balances, of course, things like the Second Amendment and whatnot, as an example, stateside of, North America, at least. This Canada, it's a little different, but, it is what it is. So, yeah, it's what they did then. These five have been plotting and conspiring for God only knows how long. And they really blew it, because here's the thing. Ultimately, it came out. There already was an assassination attempt on Lee Myung-pak? Is that his name? That can't be. Just a second. Hey, Coco, what's the opposition leader's name? She's up in the kitchen. Anyways, God damn it! This is unfortunate. So I should have that down cold. But there was an assassination attempt on him already. Someone tried to knife him several months ago. And the question for me now really is, what inspired? What drove this person to want to do this? And for what reason? So might he have even been some sort of, MK Ultra mind control lunatic. I haven't looked into it all that greatly. But beyond that, what they were trying to attempt, once again, military coup, but a false flag as well. They wanted to have, as I think Hitler tried this, did he not? Or to pull the similar stunt. And in lines somewhat with
It's called the Bavarian Beer House Push. Yeah, Hitler ended up going to jail over that one.
No, but hang on. No, this has to do with dressing up people in, well, what they wanted to do was have South Korean soldiers dress up as North Koreans.
Oh, that was the invasion of Poland. Yeah, they dressed up actually, they dressed up political prisoners and Jews, and they and made them look Polish. And basically, they killed these people in Polish military uniforms and used that as a justification for the invasion of Poland.
Mm-hmm. The defense minister here was apparently in touch with North Korea, stating that they were going to use this. They were going to start a war with North Korea, and as a result, then bring in martial law. And this is all through the back channels, of course, that constantly you can imagine are active and in place.
Well, I mean, when I start thinking about that right away, I mean, they literally tried pulling this exact same thing with the Ukraine. You know, when they gave Ukraine ballistic missiles, but they weren't armed with nuclear warheads. And basically the Biden administration gave Zelensky the go ahead to fire these missiles into Russia. You know, that was an attempt to start world. So it was like, yeah, this has almost got kind of the global tendencies to it.
Same old playbook, but it's, you know, it's treason. I mean, how is this not treason? I don't understand. Now it goes even further because, you know, clearly highly, very much, you know, would end up destabilizing things even further than what they are. And thankfully we've managed to get the peninsula back on somewhat of an even keel, you know, knock wood. But what they were going to do is have these South Korean soldiers dress up as Norks, as they're affectionately known in, you know, many quarters. I don't even know if South Koreans know them as such, but, you know, Norks is slang for North Koreans. Gooks, I guess. Norks, North Koreans. I think I might have misspoke there. But I won't get into the racial epithets or ethnic epithets any much more than that. But they're fun to throw around sometimes. Just, you know, for the hell of it. But Norks. I mean, we're Canucks, right? Canucks. Mm-hmm. And people often ask, gee, is that a bad word? You know, is that like, you know, like the Yankee and so forth? It's like, no, man. It's like, who cares? Like, you know, big deal.
Yeah. Refer to a certain NHL team that plays out of Vancouver if you think Canucks is a slur.
The thing that really gets the Americans, though, is if you're from the South, if you're south of, what is it, the Mason-Dixie line, that, is it Mason-Dixie?
Mason-Dixon.
Okay. You got the Freemasons and the Dixons are working together to, you know, resolve something as far as the Civil War was concerned. But, yeah, if you refer to Southerners as Yankees, that does not go over well, you know, so... caveat emptor, I suppose, leave it at that. But what they're going to do is have them dress up and then actually go in, hold Imyang Park. Why am I thinking Imyang Park? God damn it. That's not his name. Or is it? So, but hold the opposition leader hostage and then go in and fake a rescue mission, and in the process, have him killed, have him shot dead in this fake rescue mission that they staged themselves. This is how the story goes. Whether this is true or not, I cannot confirm. What I would like, though, is to ask you listeners, if they're so inclined, to look into this further, because it is through outlets such as ourselves via the digital underground that, as compared to the gatekeepers, the mainstream media gatekeepers who filter everything, and you know, it's just total nonsense, of course, the way they operate, that we can actually deliver these freedom fueled truth bombs and deliver the straight goods, you know, the straight dope, as it were. So they're going to go in under these false pretenses to kill him. What the South Korean soldiers might not have thought about, though, dressed up as North Koreans, is guess what? They're going to probably kill them as well, obviously. Do you get it? It's like,
oh, you know, yeah, of course. You know, you can't have any witnesses.
Three people can keep a secret. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know how that works? Do you know how that works?
Yeah, I know how that works. Well, I don't know the mechanics of it.
Let me tell you, it's real simple. Three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. So that's what they were thinking. It's like, I'm sure they weren't telling the soldiers that, of course. Like, oh, by the way, we're going to kill you, and blame it on this botched rescue mission. We tried.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about disguising them as North Korean soldiers. It's like, how the hell would, like, again, right? How the hell would they get them in, right? Because I mean, my understanding is that border is locked down pretty goddamn solid.
What they could do, they could just frame it in the sense that, because this has happened before, where you have these weird intrusions crossing over and so forth, that have it just that they somehow managed to evade detection, got to the leader of the opposition, and they're now holding him hostage. It's all, you know, it's just a total, that's what they had plotted, apparently. That was part of the deal. And this former defense minister, how many people were actually in on the whole thing is anybody's guess. But it was him who really pushed the president, supposedly. He was the one who was really pushing and pressuring the president, Yoon Suk-yeol, to do what he did in calling for martial law, obviously trying to bring in martial law, which lasted for around 5 to 6 hours is the deal. So, and then the vote came in, the legislators managed to breach the National Assembly and to just, you know, have the soldiers, anyone that was prohibiting or blocking their way to move and to stop impeding their access. And this was something that Yoon and his cronies had, of course, had ordered, that no one was to be allowed in to the legislative assembly. So it was pretty wild. It was pretty chaotic. And we, you know, America really dodged a bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania, by about half an inch. And
well, you want to know what? Like, there's people, and I'm absolutely gobsmacked that they're still stupid. They're like literally still sick. There's still people here in the United States that are still sticking to the story that was staged. And it's like, so let me see if I understand this. Donald Trump would stand on a stage and trust a guy with a very spotty shooting record to take a shot at him and just miss and hit somebody sitting, hit a couple people sitting behind him.
They were just blanks, and everyone was an actor, of course. They were all in it, you see. It's as simple as that. But these bozos that want to just kind of wander off into total Alice in disinformation land.
Well, I mean, we're kind of getting off topic here, but this is like almost like the faked moon landing and the flat earth stuff. It's what convinced me, there are mirrors that the astronauts had to set up on the moon when they landed, and they had to set them up with accuracy, like literally almost to the inch, in order for them to work properly. And they could not just like launch them up into space and then basically like land them in the, and they have to, like say, they have to land them to the inch. The only way they could have set those mirrors up would be to have the astronauts go in and do the to the inch tuning on the mirrors in order for it to work, right? And it's like, you know, like, yeah, the only way that could have happened is there was actually astronauts that went up there, right? That's the thing that convinces me. And the thing that convinces me about the fact that, I mean, like, the evidence is all around you. At a certain size, you know, like, the pressure, this is just why the sun is the sun. At a certain point, like, the pressure from the weight above generates heat, which will cause the core of a large object to liquefy, which is why you have, and of course, being as there's no gravity, it will create its own center of gravity, and it's because it's liquid, it will form its base around that center of gravity, right? And of course, it will cool up at the surface. That's why the planet is. That's why planets, after they objects in space, after they hit a certain size, will almost always be round. You know, like that's basic common sense physics, right? And that's why flat Earth. And they can never come up with an actual, like, astronomical model to explain some of the astronomical phenomena that exist out in space that deal with the Earth. And it's like, now, could we possibly be in a simulation? I've never really looked into that, but it's sort of like, yeah, you know, like, that's what I understand. And it's like, nobody's like, I mean, you know, but there's no point in trying to argue with idiots. So it's the same thing with the Trump with the staged assassination, you know, like, and somebody, the same person was also saying that the Reagan assassination back when he was president, that was also staged. And it's sort of like, okay, so let me understand how that would work. In order for that to work, Reagan would have to voluntarily agree to get shot ahead of time, which is what happened on the day. You know, so anyway, we're kind of getting off in the weeds there, which is what we tend to do on this show. But yeah, let's get back to what you have to say.
Well, I'm not sure regarding what more exactly. The wife is finally here, actually. She just drew to my attention while you're speaking, something about a lawmaker that you're saying is an okay guy, and they've sentenced now to 3 years just recently. Is that right?
Yeah.
Kunmok City.
Yes, they sentenced their Cho Gu.
Cho Gu.
The former, I mean.
Law is a
lawmaker, uh-huh. Law minister, in.
Minister of Justice.
Mr. Moon.
Moon's cabinet?
Yes.
Okay, Moon Jae-in.
Yeah.
So they sentenced him to jail for 3 years?
Yeah.
Just
now,
recently?
Recently.
Why?
Because he is another Joguk Shindang.
Conspirator?
The party, new party member.
Yeah.
And then he is the rising star.
Oh, that new party that split away from Minjutang.
Yes.
Ah. Okay, so yeah, a lot of, I'm not sure how you
they
said.
Try to split up the, you know, the other party. So
let's split the vote.
Yes.
That's not good.
No, what I mean is
kind of,
they might just lose the leader.
Which party?
The other party. I mean.
Yoon Suk-yeol?
Joguk Shindang.
Oh, the middle party, the new party.
Yeah, new party.
Because the charismatic leader, they've imprisoned now for 3 years.
And he was a law professor before in Seoul.
Right. Well, hey, Kim Dae, who's the former prime president?
Moon Jae-in?
No, before him, the old guy, he died.
Kim Dae-jung?
Kim Dae-jung, yeah. They put him in prison too, didn't they?
Nomuyeon, you mean?
No, they killed him. I'm pretty sure they.
He is not killed.
You think Nomuyeon committed suicide?
I don't know.
Look,
there's a controversy.
Kim Dae-jung, that right?
Yeah.
He was a really good leader, president, right?
Things and
were stable,
got
good economy.
Yeah, peace Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize, congratulations. He died a number of years ago, but he was in prison for a time, correct?
For a while, yes.
In Korea,
yes.
And then he went into exile to Japan.
Yeah. And he was almost killed by President Park.
Oh, Park Chung-hee.
Park Chung-hee.
Oh, I was just about to ask about Park Chung-hee. He was.
And also.
Go ahead.
He was arrested. He was formally charged with abuse of power, bribery, coercion, and leaking government secret. Park denied the charges during 5 rounds of interrogation while in prison.
Park Chung-hee was in prison. He's also assassinated. I'm not sure if was Park Chung-hee in prison.
Assassinated.
No, yeah, he was never in prison.
Not prison.
You're thinking of the daughter Park Geun-hye, maybe.
Yeah, Park Geun-hye.
I think you're thinking of the daughter
Park Geun-hye. Yeah.
Yeah, the daughter. That was more recent. Her father was assassinated by the KCIA back 79, 80.
Kim Jae-kyu.
Well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Korean politics doesn't seems to be a rather dirty. Dirty business.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty corrupt. There's a lot of ties to same old. You know, you got probably human smuggling, drugs, gun running on a covert basis, money laundering, all, you know, the standard sort of stuff you find everywhere, really. And, you know, with organized crime, and we're not talking about government now, but, you know, another form of organized crime, working actively behind the scenes to...
Well, that's
the wheels, I guess.
Yeah, know? That's almost a given. You know, every country, every yeah. country has got every city, every country has got its organized crime underground. Sure. It's that's like right. I mean, take when we were when you have now I can't remember his name the guy who did True Crime Vancouver.
Oh, Mark Devereaux.
Yeah, Mark Devereaux was really well informed about the Vancouver underground. I've been doing a little bit of research into what's going on here in Alberta specifically with organized crime. It's mostly native gangs
Have you talked yet to Christian Latéreux? Or the guy who actually was part of the MK Ultra Camp Hero.
No, I have never spoken to him. No.
Well, I tell you, because the reason I mentioned is he's living in Alberta right now himself. He had to move from Quebec, and he has got a wild story to share that'll just really blow your mind. So you should reach. I'll hook you two up here through Skype. He'll probably be open to having interviews. He's really making the rounds now. He's got a book. And I'm not sure what else, but it's, you know, you've heard of MK Ultra and...
There's
Philadelphia been a lot of, experiment. Yeah. And it's all out of Montauk. This is Montauk, I think it's New York and Camp Hero for the...
Yeah, you know. Well, the MK Ultra stuff has been floating around recently because Luigi Mangione, for about 3 months before... He did what he did. He like just fell off the radar completely.
He's a really gifted intellectually. He's really, his IQ is off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't necessarily, Gary. I mean, like the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, was like super genius as well. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about
And he was a fan of his too. Luigi was a fan of his. He had his manifesto that he was studied almost religiously, I guess. Do you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm aware of that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that Kaczynski said in his manifesto, which, I mean, if he hadn't gone around bombing people and he had just simply written that manifesto, and I mean, considering what culture is like now. Kaczynski would probably have status on the level of, well, maybe not necessarily on Alex Jones, but I mean, he would be extremely well known, right? Because I mean, it's a lot of the stuff he talks about in his manifesto was actually manifested itself. And a lot of it is really disturbing too. Because and based upon what you're telling me and what was going on in Korea, like this is happening, this is part of the reason why I'm not necessarily so keen on leaving Canada, right? Because it's like, you know, like everything that is happening in the West right now is just based upon how the technology and how people up at the top would want to streamline their services by having having to go through fewer hoops to get to where they need to go. And so it would be easy. It's like, it's not just a conspiratorial thing. It's sort of like there's people sitting on executive boards somewhere going, yeah, you know what? Instead of having three companies that we have to deal with, why don't we buy up all three of them and merge them into one? Therefore, we only have to deal with one supplier. And it's sort of like, so there's almost like the need to stream because the company needs to streamline their ability to get their stuff done. And also you've got, say, a group of greedy power mongers at the top that want control. And they're almost like, and they're like they're working hand in hand. And what Kaczynski is saying is that, I mean, like, it's not going to matter who gets elected, right? Like, it's where Western society, where every single society on the planet is going, is that you're trying to, these the people at the top are trying to streamline and become more efficient in order to get more control of the situation, because it's like you can't have a, again, that's part of the reason why of all the groups in the Manosphere, for instance, people like MGTOW was the one that gets the most hostility, because MGTOW is the one that is the, like, there's no central authority in MGTOW. There's no coordinating entity in MGTOW. It's just a whole bunch of people who have adopted the same philosophy. They're all, it all appears to be going in one direction, but if you go down and you ask each man what they're going for, it's a totally different thing, right? So you can't really take out, say, Sandman or me and do much damage, because you're only taking out, you're dealing with individuals. And that's, so they want more, they want things to be streamlined and easier for them to get their business done. The best way to do that is to amalgamate all of these companies under one umbrella, which is why a lot of these corporations are going along with what, and you've got people in government that want to do it because they want to have the power and they want to be in control. Like you were saying earlier about people who want to, when you were quoting, was it Aristotle? You were quoting about
Plato and
one, Plato, you know, yeah.
That we should be very wary of anyone who seeks power.
Yeah,
and you know, very, very, very hungry, power hungry.
Yeah, and so it's like you've got power hungry people in politics and in corporate in the I'm just gonna call them the merchant class. And you've also got individuals in the merchant class who don't want to have to deal with multiple entities to get things done.
Yeah, transnationals, you know, merchant, yeah. Transnational merchants. But also, here's a question for you. How do you spell traitor?
T-R-A-I-T-O-R.
Yeah? You sure?
Traitor, yeah. Traitor. Sure. Are you talking about traitor or traitor?
There you go. How do you spell profit?
P-R-O-F-I-T.
Or?
Profit. I don't know. Profit. Oh, okay, yeah. So you've got these two. So you get these two competing interests, and their interests align. They
horizontal integration is what you're talking about. The takeovers and mergers. Horizontal integration. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times vertical integration with their logistical infrastructure, corporations, and really just the corporate machine that they work to oversee and to.
So their interests basically command. Yeah, their interests align, and the same thing happened in Nazi Germany, right? The only problem is that the more you do that, the less individuality, the less creativity, you know, because that particular type of element introduces a rogue, it's a rogue element that could threaten to destabilize the entire system, right? And that is happening everywhere in the world right now. And it's not going to matter whether you have communists in China or you have fascists or whatever in another country, or whether you have Republicans or Democrats or liberals or conservatives or whatever. Like, this is, even if you stop the government from doing it, like, the corporations are still going to do it because it's in their best interest to get business done.
Or so the World Economic Forum.
Or the World Economic. So even if you stop the World Economic, like what Ted Kaczynski was talking about here is that, you know, because these two people have a common interest, but the only problem is that the more they try to control things, the less ability they have to adapt to outside influences. And they won't be able to put everybody inside of a bubble. And if they put everybody inside of a bubble, the system stagnates, because in a closed system eventually loses its energy.
Well, like Charles Darwin, the evolution of species, you know, the bottom line there, conclusion was exactly what you're talking about. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you rely in exclusively or entirely on one feature or element, that if that finds itself attacked or under siege, threatened, it causes major problems because you have you've not diversified. We often hear that too, like polio diversification, you know, portfolio and polio too, I suppose. You know, why not? It's a day and age we're living in, but diversification of your investment portfolios. So it's quite true. But I think, do you have any other questions regarding Korea? Because, you know, we've done, I think, a pretty good job here.
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm looking at, it looks like it was almost like a Keystone Cops kind of operation.
Thank God.
And they didn't appear to plan it too well. So my question is, who the hell organized this thing? Because
there was five of them. Was that, look, as I mentioned earlier, these five friends that went to school together, they've been conspiring, planning, hungering for power since very, very young.
They didn't plan it out very well.
Well, and this came up right from, this was sort of a Hail Mary attempt. And you're right, the timing, I mean, I think either of us probably could have done a better job if, you know, thinking things through a little more carefully. It could potentially have led to a little more bloodshed, unfortunately. But, you know, it's really fortunate, very lucky that there was no serious incidents of that sort, because we came very close, as I said, with the Butler, Pennsylvania business. This was similar in many ways.
It looks like it was a, and I mean, I'm just going to have to throw this out there as a potential theory. It looks like perhaps somebody, and if this was something that was planned on the fly, because it looks like it was a Keystone Cops operation, and it was, and one of the things, as you're talking, I'm looking at it, that rings of desperation, and who would have benefited if a war had started in the East over China? And like immediately I'm like thinking about that Zelensky ballistic missile thing. Well, so yeah, this may have been green lit by somebody inside the Biden administration, because this would be the incompetence of the Biden administration. If somebody was going to be incompetent to botch something like this, it would be them.
They claimed that they were caught off, you know, flat footed by surprise. They had no prior, there's no information or notification that came their way, but that could be disinformation.
But plausible deniability. Not us.
Don't look.
Have an undersecretary or somebody low ranking in the cabinet organize things on the sly. That Joe Biden Joe Biden is even smart enough to notice in the
something
first place.
And something ultimately to keep Trump out of power.
Yeah. Well,
if that would have had a resonating sort of ripple effect, you know, who knows the way that pieces of the chessboard pieces would have found themselves rearranged. Korea is the linchpin of Asia and the East. There's just look at it geographically. It is the linchpin.
Yeah, it's like there's been some talk, and I don't know how viable it is or not, because of some of the moves that China has been doing, and because of what North Korea has been doing about allowing both South Korea and Japan to arm up with nuclear weapons. Now
what?
Yeah, at least that's with some of the strategic talks that have been occurring in the U.S.
Say that again. Well, I got to hear that one more
time. Allowing South Korea and Japan to arm up with nuclear weapons.
Okay, well, look, there were, as far as I understand, there were nuclear weapons in South Korea, and then under the Bush old man Skull and Bones 41 administration, they were withdrawn from the peninsula. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. You know, it's
it's easy enough to do. Got to do is just have regular set. All you got to do is just have regular submarine patrols with nuclear.
Well, and that's what they did. Is that within just last year? In fact, it is one of the moves that was made. It was pretty high profile. They weren't really trying to conceal too much, but they brought a major battle. What do we call it? A battle cruiser. Major. Some major military. Naval hardware into I think almost the Incheon part of the country. That's where MacArthur made his famous rogue landing and managed to shift the tide and momentum of the Korean. It was just a police action, right? You got to remember that it wasn't a war. We got to be careful misspeaking. Just they call it, just like the way that they're not prisoners of war, they're enemy combatants. Or, it's like it's got to frame it in a particular way that suits your interests and agenda. But it's a major, a huge battleship brought in I'm not sure if it's Incheon or not, but it was the northwest side of the peninsula, as I recall, and I think it's armed with nuclear capabilities, and that pissed off North Korea, definitely.
Oh, well,
that was made in response to something which I can't recall, but it's a tit for tat kind of deal, as you can imagine, right?
So yeah, well, I mean, I know for a fact because I've done, contrary to popular belief, there's a lot of information on YouTube that is still quite good. And was one guy who did an assessment of the Japanese military situation, the far south islands of Japan, the ones that are south of Okinawa. There's a couple of major military bases on those islands, because those islands act like a strategical pivot if China attempts to send a navy outside of the China Sea and into the Pacific. They will have to deal with those two Japanese, and the bases have missiles and air capability capable of taking out even the largest Chinese warships that attempt to leave that area. And there's a lot going on that we don't that we don't know about. I mean, apparently, apparently Japan is just like China. Japan is either making or is in the already has made an artificial island, which is strategically located in a spot which allows them to basically fire on any warship that attempts to leave the Asian. Area.
China's been doing the same, the Southeast Asian,
the Koreans,
region and sphere of influence, as they often put it. Even there's been some clashes between China and I think it's Philippine fishermen, if I'm not mistaken, fishing boats and whatnot. So I think they do get a little tense. They lead to diplomatic, spats and tensions. But ultimately, cooler heads do prevail, and solutions are able to be brought about, the situation generally resolved. Although you do find some long-standing and lingering tensions, issues that never seem to want to go away, and often for good reason, because of the historicity. And in impact as they occurred, it leaves quite a mark in people's the collective psyche. There's a famous island called Dokdo, Dokdo-nun, Dokdo-nun, it's like, you know, Uri-nara. That's our land. Uri-tang, you say our land, part of, you know, Korea. And that's been a lingering sort of ongoing back and forth between South Korea and Japan. And then you bring the North into it and China and so on and so forth. But I think what's most interesting now, like, this is the year of the dragon. We're finding it's like, holy shit, bit of a wild ride with the Middle East now, and then just the collapse just from right out of the blue. Assad, that house of cards.
That, well, wasn't, my understanding is
like paper tiger.
The Russians pulled out is one of the issues that happened there.
But that was after the fact, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember. That's the reason why I wanted Mark Edworthy on this, because we could throw it in the stuff that was going on. I haven't done as much research into Syria as I have done into the Korean situation. And as you can see, there's gaps in my knowledge about Korea.
As with myself too, it's like I'm no expert, but I do know a few things. That's partly why I'm here, I guess, to try to help out.
I mean, but if I can say, if I'm going to go 1,000 feet up and look down on the situation, based upon the hastiness of it and the way, and again, like, who? Here's the big question: like, who would have been the big strategic winner if this prime minister had actually succeeded in doing what he had been doing?
President Yoon.
If President Yoon had succeeded, who would have been the winner internationally, and who would have been the winner, like, domestically?
That's a good question. It's all just theatrics, of course. You know, they would have faked some sort of conflict with maybe a few missiles being exchanged here and there, who's really to say? But he wanted to seize power, clearly, via a military coup and have everything locked down. We wouldn't be here talking right now, probably. You know,
exactly. Well, I mean, from an international perspective, especially given what has been going on especially given what had happened in the Ukraine with Zelensky, and how you telling me that that this new regime in South Korea would have proceeded with things, the winner in this would have been, in particular, the Biden administration. And then we have to pivot back to the U.S. here, because I remember at the start of the year, there was an individual, and like he said, they were going to try to do three things to prevent Trump from getting into office. They were going to, A, try and throw him in jail. And they never really succeeded in it because, like, I mean, their legal maneuvers just were, like, basically castles of sand.
They tried to kill him.
Yeah, try to kill him, which they tried to do actually three times, apparently. All three of them failed. And then three was to create a large enough event or incident that it would allow the Biden administration to stay in power or to postpone the election.
Yeah, step in as the savior. And by the way, regarding B, the attempted assassination, I highly suspect Benjamin Netanyahu as being perhaps potentially directly implicated and involved.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, first of all, Trump's daughter is married to a Zionist.
Okay, so
yeah, Trump's daughter is married to a Zionist, right? Yeah. Like an actual full-on Jewish Zionist, right? And you've told me about the difference between, like, Jews and Zionists, right?
You never understood that before.
You know, you no, I've never. Again, I didn't really, like, I mean, there's so many people, I'll be straight up with you, there's so many people who want to blame the Jews for, like, literally fucking, pardon the language, everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, the economy collapses, it's the Jews, an asteroid hits a certain part of the country, it's the Jews. You know, it's like the Jew behind every blade of grass.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's other powers that.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's like
Vatican, the Crown. You know, I would argue, you know, the Rothschilds, the ship.
So, I mean, yeah, but I see so many people blaming the Jews. Them. It's sort of like, you know, it's like in my, I reached the point where it's like, yeah. It's the Jews. Yeah, it's always the Jews.
Some people are just off the rocker, but you got to hear, it's important to hear people out. And most political Zionists, of course, you know that they're not Jewish, right?
Well, I mean, you know.
Who are they?
I haven't looked.
It's real simple, man. It's not complicated. They're fundamentalist Christians.
Well, basically, I mean, Judaism has its fundamentalist sects.
Yeah, but a lot of the fundamentalists and traditionalists, like I guess what's known as true Torah, and they reject Zionism. They say that there should be no Israel until the Messiah appears.
Yeah, okay, again, I haven't.
It was like putting the cart before the horse. Yeah, it's just they don't accept Israel. They really don't.
I haven't looked into it too closely.
And then most Semites, you know, this whole Semite thing really pisses me off because most Semites are not Jewish. Most Jews, I would argue, are not Semitic.
Yeah, you know, well, I get Trump's daughter is married to Palestine. Jared Kushner, and Jared Kushner is, I don't know whether he would qualify as a Zionist, but he's definitely full-ass supporter of fucking Netanyahu, for sure.
I guess Ashkenazi Jew. And whether it would bother him or not to have his father-in-law out of the way, I have no idea. Perhaps it would. But here's the thing, is that the shooter, Crooks, apparently, a lot of people, this was not talked about much, but he was a member of the Chabad Lubavitch sect. Look into that, folks. Chabad Lubavitch. These people, you talk about it like you want to blame somebody. Like it's a wacko sect that is really out of control, and it's just terrible. They're radical and extreme. So, you know, we hear often like, oh, radicalism, extremism, we got to stamp it out. Well, let's just expose it and you know, see where the cards fall. Let the cards fall where they may.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's sort of like the Jews seem to be responsible for stuff, which if they were, they would be literally be contradicting themselves. Right. So that's sort of like.
No, they're pretty. You know, they're powerful vested interest group. There's no doubt about that, and it's foolish just to ignore that fact out of hand. You know, we got to.
I don't ignore that fact out of hand. I mean, I've had dealings with people who are Jewish. I mean, I have noticed, for instance, that they definitely not every single person who's Jewish, but I mean, I have noticed that as a group, they tend to exhibit a lot more fiscal awareness than your average person on the street.
They're pretty, I give them a lot of credit with their intelligence. They're born very intelligent.
Oh yeah. They're very,
schooling very seriously.
They're very financially adroit. A lot of them are very financially adroit.
You know, like, one thing that's really interesting is that they also, apparently, if you look into it, I think, I'm not sure if it's just the Ashkenazis or not. And by the way, do you know what Ashkenazi, get it? Do you know what it means? And it's actually Yiddish. In English, it just means German. That's all it means. It means German. Ashkenazi. And so it just means German. But they are also, just to finally closing off here, which kind of not really the way we started out, but you know, it's a clearinghouse for information and conversation ideas.
Well, there are definitely some outside powers that were playing into it.
Just
continue.
Let me finish here, Naroki. I'm sorry to talk over you a little bit, but they're also with illnesses and rare diseases. The Ashkenazis, I guess, are what is the word now? They're not. They're basically prone. They're prone to contract.
Hereditary.
Maybe it could. It could be a lot too much inbreeding, like with the Koreans, or who knows what exactly. But I'll tell you one more thing. Besides these rare diseases that they're so often, you know, they find themselves suffering from, that with the whole COVID business, according to RFK Jr., and he got in hot water for this, you know, because he can't say this, of course, even though he's just stating a fact. And, you know, he himself has lots of Jewish friends, and it's just, you know, so what? It's like, you know, Larry David or what have you, just stating a scientific fact. The finding was with a study that with the COVID numbers, that most, it was Finns, the Han Chinese, and Ashkenazi Jews who fared the best throughout the course of COVID, while Caucasians and blacks really got hit hard in a big way, supposedly, as far as the numbers were concerned. And I'm not sure if that's pre-kill shot or post. It's kind of tricky, you know, the post hoc ergo propter hoc, which is a fallacy, basically. It's Latin. It means after this, therefore because of this. So, you know, it's like they say, it's like correlation does not determine or establish a causation kind of deal. We've all heard that one, of course. So, but yeah, it's quite fascinating. And there's a lot to be said regarding the whole matter. And, you know, it's even Voltaire. Like, here's one for you. Voltaire, like, if you want to know who rules over you, simply ask who it is you're not allowed to talk about.
Oh, well, I know that. I mean, Candace Owens has literally been banned from either Australia.
She's a firebrand.
From Israel, from Australia, New Zealand, for making quote unquote anti-Semitic comments. And I mean,
that's a ridiculous term. That's just
I have looked at her stuff, and it's like, well, what type of anti-Semitic content has she made? She's been very critical of the government.
I say anti-Jewish, like, this anti-Semitic thing is offensive to most Semites, you know, like Palestinians and others, like Lebanese. They're very Semitic. And the majority, once again, of Semites are not Jewish. So they've absconded with, they've hijacked that term for political ends and to, you know, promote their interests and agenda for, you know, catapulting the propaganda, as George W. Bush, Skull and Bones 43, so often like to, you know, put it. So, but, you know, we agree on a whole number of things. I would say we agree on, Naroki. You probably would agree to that. But there's certain things with these other issues where, depending on what we're talking about, we don't exactly see eye to eye. And I think that's okay. I'm not sure about you, but I think it's healthy. We, you know, because we do live in a pluralistic, diverse society, and we've got to one of the things that's really troubling, however, like with the, you know, Jewish power and Islamic as well too, let's not forget, they play the victim card. They endlessly, as it just, they play the victim card until the, and then they want all the free speech in the world until they get into power, and then shut it down. It's like, they got the power, now it's time to shut it down. And we bring down the hammer with Sharia law or what have you. I think there's this.
Well, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, this, we'll probably get in more into this when we talk about Syria.
Right.
Israel, the clock is basically ticking on Israel, because the left is just completely, the left has turned its back on Israel completely. And the right is like, they're like looking at the situation and they're going like, why are we even involved there?
Well, you know, Netanyahu, I mean, come on. October 7th was an inside job. You'll never hear this on Fox News, CNN, any of the big channels or networks, but give me a break.
Well, there was a series of, and this has been talked, we have mentioned this on our PN. There has been a series of gaps that were seemingly created a couple of days before the event took place, which were very similar to some of the stuff that happened in Yom Kippur.
Have you looked into the Hannibal Directive?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh my God. Oh, have you heard of the Hannibal Directive?
I have heard of it. I have never looked into it.
Everybody listening, duck, duck, go. Hannibal Directive, October 7th. See what comes up.
Because like there's enough stuff going on around that to suggest that, yeah, do I think that Netanyahu would be the type of person to pull something like that off? Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think he cares about the hostages, really?
No. Netanyahu is a psychopath.
Hannibal Directive. Yeah, do you think he cared about those festival participants?
No. a guy like Netanyahu, anybody outside of his family and his inner circle is just a thing to him.
Do you really think Israel was actually, they were genuinely caught flat-footed and surprised October 7th?
Well, it looks very much like they were left flat-footed on purpose to a certain degree. I don't know the whole thing because it's something I've said about the whole Gaza Strip thing. I don't have a dog in that fight.
Oh, really?
No, I don't have a dog in that fight.
It's a genocide by all accounts and indications.
Yeah, well, a genocide by who, though? I mean,
Netanyahu and his Likud coalition. They're the ones.
But keep in mind, there were a lot of Jews that were massacred the first few days when they broke out on October the 7th. So, I mean, yeah, it is in that massacre. But the first thing I always ask somebody when they start talking about the genocide is like, well, which group were we talking about that was genocide? The Jews on the first few days, or what was going when it went on afterwards?
Have you looked into Operation Northwoods?
Heard of it?
Look at Operation Northwoods, Hannibal Directive, and maybe what happened on October 7th will become a little clearer to yourself and some of your listeners, if they don't already have a pretty good handle. An assessment of what actually transpired. Netanyahu is in serious trouble.
Oh, he's in very serious trouble.
He needed October 7th to happen, or the protests that were taking place were pretty significant, and he needed something quite major. As Trudeau, Biden, they will bring down the whole House of Cards.
Oh, Trudeau is, and this is part of the reason why.
Burn it down. Look at Jasper, man. Look what, you remember what happened to Jasper?
Oh, no, that was definitely done on purpose. I mean, look at what Jed, and I was talked about this just very briefly. And we're definitely.
Guilbeault, is that his name?
Guilbeault, I mean, like, that's that's the reason why Daniel Smith had decided to cooperate with Trump without waiting around for Ottawa to make a decision, because she's basically, Daniel Smith has said this without saying it, but I mean, she's effectively right now what she's trying to do, and what the Saskatchewan premier is also trying to do, basically they're trying to build a firewall with those two provinces to prevent Trudeau from, because what Trudeau looks like, well, it looks like trying Trudeau is attempting to do is he's just basically, at this point, he's acting like a petulant little child and attempting to ruin everything so that Pierre Poilievre has to spend this first 6 months to a year just repairing all the damage that Trudeau has done.
Oh, more than that. Yeah, no, he'll have
So Daniel Smith, Scott, and Mo provincially are doing everything they can to kind of like firewall that stuff.
Minimize the damage.
Minimize the damage that Trudeau can do to them specifically.
What is this situation with the flood of illegals and invaders, essentially? Don't call them immigrants, or these illegal invaders. A million per year is what I at one point.
Yeah. Said, oh yeah.
Talk about 1 million per year. Are you kidding me?
No, that's not a joke. That's not a joke. I mean, like I said, the immigration situation on a per capita basis versus what's going on to the U.S. is way worse in Canada than it is in the U.S.
You want to talk order out of chaos?
Trudeau just blew the fucking doors wide open on immigration. I mean, and of course, it's not like people jumping the border here. Unlike the United States.
Come on in.
Trudeau has made administrative choices and has allowed private contractors to just basically bring in as many people as they deem necessary.
Human traffickers, smugglers.
Yeah, they're traffickers, but they're basically it would be like having Biden go to the human smugglers on the border of the U.S. and contracting out to them to allow these people to come in. That's basically what's gone on here.
Skin trade. skin trade privateers.
Yeah, it's basically it's a form of human trafficking, right. Except here in Canada, it is all perfectly legal.
You can imagine the sort of the horrific scenarios that some people end up in.
Oh, I have seen one of these houses, but I mean, I've heard stories specifically in Vancouver of houses, and we're really getting off the topic here, about houses in Surrey where there's like 20, 25 people, like all immigrants, all there's like three or four, and they're living in these four bedroom houses, and there's like six or seven of them to a room or something, and there's like basically four or five of them to a room, and they're all living in these bunk beds and that sort of thing, and it's sort of like, and each one of them is like contributing just a tiny little bit to the rent. And apparently these types of houses and apartment units are like all specifically in Surrey, they're all over the place.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of brown skin people.
Well, yeah, Surrey always did have, and I don't know, you didn't spend that much time in the Lower Mainland, but Surrey always did have a very large East Indian population. So if they're going to bring them in, bringing them into Surrey would be the first and most obvious place to put them because they wouldn't stand out.
It'd be interesting to look at the demographics, you know, Europeans as compared to people from other parts of the world, Africa and Middle East.
Well, I mean, they released a study which told which Western cities have the most
Canadian,
like actual people who were born in Canada,
right?
Living inside, legal.
That's right.
And I mean, because they keep in
mind, anchor babies. Hey.
Yeah, so I mean, they keep in mind there are Sikhs living in Canada that have been here like 60, 70 years, and like you can tell the difference immediately between a Sikh that's like third or third generation Sikh where her grandparents or maybe some of even her grandparents were born in Canada.
My dealings with the Sikhs in the past has been very, very, you know. Good, basically.
Yeah, like,
problems at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there's large segments of the Vancouver.
Little India is pretty cool, too, huh?
Yeah, no, I lived in Little India for a while.
Yeah, great food.
When I was, I lived, it's...
Went there, those beadies, you know, smoking those little beady cigarettes?
Yeah, I lived in Little India for a while. In fact, I lived literally right across the alley from the Ross Street Temple at one point. So,
wow, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, and just to close it, because we're closing it open, my God, speaking of Little India and Canadian demographics and politics, did you hear about, who the hell with the assassination of, there was a prominent, was he an Indian? And there was some, they went after someone from Pakistan or a Sikh that they had murdered. And
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, he was
the
killers got caught. Yeah, I don't know the specifics about it.
That's good.
I do know that he was a Sikh nationalist, and I don't know exactly what went on.
He was targeted. He was killed.
Yeah, he was targeted. He was specifically
by an Indian hit squad.
Yeah, yeah, he was specifically targeted. I know that much. I don't know the exact details.
Susceptible—that's the term I was looking for.
Like for instance, right, Jagmeet Singh, for instance.
Oh, have you seen? Like, oh my God, his wife just dripping in luxuriant, you know, diamonds and jewels.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the big socialist leader too, right?
Yeah, he's the NDP.
Yeah, he's quite a socialist.
He's head of the NDP, yeah. But I mean, it's like Jagmeet Singh I don't know whether he was... No, Jagmeet Singh was born in India. But yeah, you can tell the difference between the westernized Sikhs. Sikhs and people that have just come over on the boat, basically.
Oh, do you know that with Jack... I gotta come up with a better nickname for him because you know Meet Singh. I had a good one before. escaped my mind. There we go. You know when you're not in Canada and really immersed in English 24/7, a lot of what you had, you know, what you're working with from a standpoint of language. Not necessarily as capable as one once was. But yeah, Jagmeet Singh, a lot of Sikhs do not even like the guy. They really don't, apparently.
Well, I mean, apparently he's not allowed to go back to India.
Good. Well, I don't like the guy either. There's something he's just, and what, and so he's still working together, colluding, you could say conspiring, some people would say conspiring, with the liberals to hold together that that the coalition, is that right?
Yep, that he has been doing exactly that.
It's the election. When's the election coming up? Next year?
Next year. The furthest it can go is November.
Can Trudeau possibly, now technically, is he going to run again? Can he win again? Or does he have, aren't there term limits for prime minister?
No, there is a term limits. Based upon, again, this is a 500 foot view.
Awful.
Trudeau is a spoiled kid and he will hold on.
Awful, awful.
For person. As long as he
humans. And that Stephen Guilbeault is just even probably worse.
Oh, though, like, I mean, who's the? Here's the thing, right?
He was
like,
behind,
I mean,
Jasper, you know. He was a central player in basically they had all the fire crews ready to go to take care of, you know, the problems that were, you know, the fires as they were taking off, and he basically gave the stand down order.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
He's a minister of land and resources or something like that, you know, forest and wildlife or who the hell.
Oh, he was the environment minister on the first run. He's now the energy minister. And I was like looking at that and going, oh, wow, dude. Like, yeah, you and Daniel Smith are going to get along famously. And of course, they, you know. They didn't get along at all. Like it's every
awful,
meeting,
awful person.
Every meeting between every single meeting between the between Daniel Smith and Stephen Guilbeault just did not work out very well.
Hey, if they're looking for a mediator, I can. I'm open to taking on the job. So give me a call. But I should go now, actually, speaking of which, it's been a great ride here. It's, you're always I know sometimes I a little too overly assertive and, you know, talk over people, which I shouldn't, because it is your show. I try to, you know, pull back and let you as the host say your thing. But sometimes there's just certain points that pop up. It's like, you got to hear this, before I forget, right, because I'm old and stupid. I forget things.
Oh, well, that's why I just put stuff in the chat. That way I can remember.
Yeah. Hey, and let me just remind people that we are running this campaign, Operation Secret Santa. It's a 10th annual, time that we've tackled this. And we're basically working on better refining this magic Christmas elixir where people... you look to sponsor people, or you reach out to us and say, hey, you know, we're looking for a helping hand, or we know someone who is, and you can help them, yes, with monetary donations through PayPal, food, clothing, medical needs, whatever what they might be looking for, maybe part-time work, maybe have their driveway shoveled. You know, we encourage people to be ad hoc, which means kind of in Latin, English, it means for this. Think outside the box. Whatever it takes to get the job done, folks, and bring a little Christmas spirit and light to people's lives who would otherwise be, because as you know, probably, Naroki, it's a tough time of the year for a lot of people, just in staying warm, and keeping the warmth of the hearth of the heart, is that?
Oh, well, dude, one of the things that's happened, so. I don't know what the situation
suicide,
is.
Suicide, depression, terrible.
I don't know what the stuff is like in Korea, but the homeless population in, even here in Edmonton, which is not, it just hasn't been hit as hard as some of the other cities like Toronto and Vancouver has, but even here, it's like the number of homeless here has just like, I've noticed a significant increase, especially since COVID. Well,
sure, absolutely. I mean, that's what they did there was horrific. Just the hijacking of the economy, and so much in the way that businesses were you know, people were, I mean, it's criminal what they did, frankly, utterly criminal. And by the way, just a quick reminder, folks, mandates are not laws for future consideration. Okay. Look into it. Mandates are not laws. How many of these mandates actually were legislated? Zero. I mean, show me one that would actually got a legislative, parliamentary or congressional approval with a stamp of approval. Nothing. It was all rushed through, and needlessly so. Emergency use authorization, it was not even required. But the hysteria, extraordinary popular delusions, and the madness of crowds. Charles McKay, look into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, to quote somebody, if you wanted to know what you were doing in 1930s Germany, just look at what you're doing now. And that's what you would have been doing in 1930s Germany. But anyway, you know what? We're almost at an hour and a half here.
Merry Christmas, yeah, man.
I don't know. Don't think you're going to be around tomorrow. I have to stop and consider whether I want to add the Jordan Peterson godsod decision to leave Canada as topic number 7 tomorrow.
What happened? Are they both leaving Canada?
They're both leaving Canada, yeah. Well, Jordan Peterson hasn't really been in Canada for a while. Godsod was living in Montreal. What really put Godsod over the top, though, was those riots in Montreal.
Really?
And the way the Canadian government, and specifically the city of Montreal, looked the other way as Palestinian protesters were allowed to target Jews. Like, literally, it's almost like Kristallnacht, almost. Really? Right? They were allowed to target Jewish-owned businesses in Montreal.
Yeah, well, that's not right, obviously. I support Palestine and a free Palestine, but that's just not right. Clearly.
Yeah, so. I think that's what put Godsod over the top, because Godsod is of Jewish heritage. But I mean, he's got some really brilliant takes.
He's great. Yeah, he's excellent. Excellent. Just an amazing mind. And Peterson, I guess it's all because of the way that he's being hauled up under the carpet and asked to.
Well, he got
thought crimes.
He got railroaded. It's like the licensing office for psychologists in Ontario is not a governing body, right? They don't actually have any legal power, but they just acted like they did have legal power here. And I mean, that's kind of how the Canadian government has been doing stuff. They've been like, they haven't exercised government power per se. What they've been doing is they've been having these de facto agencies enforce shit for them.
Yeah.
Right.
With the mandates. That's exactly how the mandates, like with the, like you said, defer to, or, exactly. We're not going to do the dirty work. Let's hand this off to them. Take care of, we'll keep, keep our hands clean.
Yeah, they're using contractors as opposed to doing it themselves. Yeah.
Privateering, once again.
That would be a type of bureaucratic dystopia. Anyway, you know what?
Weaponized. It's weaponized too, man. Totally, completely weaponized contracting, to put it bluntly. Yeah.
Yep. And you want to know, ironically enough, you want to know who came up with that idea, because it first got started under Bush 2, Bush Jr., when it was like they couldn't torture prisoners directly, so what they would do is they would hire contractors to do it for them, so they would have plausible denial. Oh, we're not torturing anybody. Well, no, you're not torturing anybody, but the people you're hiring are. But it's we're not doing it, right?
The like I said earlier, it's like they're not prisoners of war. They're enemy combatants.
Yeah,
right. It's not a war. It's a police action.
Yeah. Using word games. Anyway, you know what? We've been talking about everything but
Korea. Happy sailing, Naroki. WPRPN.com.
Yep. Just remember, we're doing the regular RPN show tomorrow. It'll be 1:14. There might be 7 topics. There's definitely 6. It's going to be very manosphere heavy. But that is it for tonight, folks. Thank you for listening. And an hour and a half, almost right on the nose here. So that's it for tonight, folks.